Welcome back to another episode of the Pickaxe Podcast. I'm your host, Delaney Howell. We're back with your monthly content after dedicating the entire month of April to niche production within the swine industry. Today, we're going to talk about some new research bringing about a few surprises, all centered around the common practice of split suckling. Joining us are two guests who spent a summer involved in this study. Ashley Hartman, a research coordinator for Pillen Family Farms and DNA Genetics, and Michaela Spindler, a graduate research assistant at Kansas State University. Together, alongside a team of assistants, they observed 1,500 sows and 22,000 piglets to monitor individual mortality and performance outcomes related to split suckling, a method commonly used on commercial swine farms. Interestingly, their findings revealed that this long-standing practice might not be benefiting piglets on day one as much as previously thought. In this episode, we'll dive into the limited research that existed prior to this study, break down the methods they used, and hear what's next. But before we dive deeper into the data, let's first learn more about our guest.
So I grew up in Montana and actually grew up on a cow-calf operation. So I really never had much to do with commercial swine production. And we joke a lot in my family because my sister's actually the one that showed pigs in 4-H and not me. And so now that I work with pigs, it's kind of ironic. And then I worked for a bull stud for several years and decided to go back and get my bachelor's degree and ended up at K-State working for the swine nutrition team. And so that was really where I started my commercial swine experience, was with the applied swine nutrition team at K-State. Really loved working for them and doing research. Did not love nutrition as much. So I then pursued a master's in repro phys and got my master's at K-State in reproductive physiology, and then decided I wanted to do a PhD. So I, again, stayed at K-State and decided, since I was doing the 3 degrees there, I really wanted to broaden my horizons and experience. And so I went to Dr. Woodworth and I said, hey, I really miss working with sows. I really want to do a swine project. I want to do something different. And he said, Ashley, you study male fertility. Why would you work with sows? I said, well, because nobody lets you in a boar stud. And so he said, well, let's find someone that will. And so we actually reached out to the team at DNA and they were eager to collaborate with us. And so then most of my PhD work actually was here with DNA in collaboration with them and looking at some management factors for boars after we received them at the studs. And so then they just so happened to be looking for a research coordinator about the time that I was done. And then I came to work for Pillen DNA afterwards.
Great background. Thanks for sharing all that, Ashley. Michaela, what about you?
I'm originally from Morristown, Minnesota. I grew up on my family farm there. So my dad has a row crop operation, and then we always had just a variety of different livestock growing up. So that's really where my interest started in the ag industry. And from there, I went to Iowa State for my undergraduate degree in animal science and then did a minor in agronomy. So before going to undergrad, really didn't have much of a background in commercial swine production, but took a swine production class at Iowa State, and that's what really piqued my interest in the swine industry. So from there, I did a variety of internships in the swine industry and also worked as an undergraduate research assistant for a couple of different lab groups at Iowa State. So kind of got the research and commercial background well during my time at Iowa State. Kind of one of the fun things that I did during my undergrad was I was actually an intern on the Improving Pig Livability Grant. So it's cool now to be able to have done an internship on the grant and now be able to have a project that's a part of the grant. So after undergrad, knew I wanted to go to grad school, really enjoyed my research experience as undergrad, so came to Kansas State to work with the applied swine nutrition team. So came for my master's, completed my master's in 2023, and then stayed on and currently working on my PhD in swine nutrition.
Awesome. Thank you for that background as well. So when you were working with the Pig Livability Grant, at what point in the process was that early in the grant?
Think back to when that was. It was a while ago. It was 2020 was the year, the summer of 2020 that I was been into.
So kind of at some of the initial stages of when that
came.
Awesome.
Would have been pretty early on.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for sharing those backgrounds. Maybe just for our listeners as well, you know, we were talking a little bit before I hit record about how your paths crossed to decide that split suckling research was important, both from your perspective in your PhD work, Michaela, but also from Pillen Family Farms' perspective. Can one of you share just a little bit about how that conversation came to be and what that partnership really looked like as it started to shape?
So probably last January, we started having some conversations here at Pillen's and DNA. We always do some sort of big summer trial, and we're really talking about, okay, we want to focus on pig survivability. What can we do? What things can we look at? And split suckling came up many times. You know, is it worth it? Are we doing it the right way? What should we be doing differently? And so that was kind of internally some conversations we were having. And then I'm not even sure, Michaela, what you and I were chatting about one day, but I think she was just asking what projects we had coming up here. And I mentioned that. And then she mentioned that she was kind of thinking something along those lines also for a summer trial. And so then we started having conversations about, you know, do we do this project or what about split suckling? And from there, it just kind of, or I guess organically, we kind of created that connection of working together to build a split suckling project. And you know, for us here at Pillen and DNA, being able to use that university partnership for trials like this is so important to what we're able to complete with our program. So having students like Michaela come in is really, really fun and awesome for our research program. And our whole R&D team loves when we're able to do these kinds of university collaborations.
I would say from the Kansas State side of things, so I really enjoy sow research and working with the pre-weaned pig. So I knew that I wanted to get on a sow farm for the summer to do a larger trial. So I was talking to my professors here at Kansas State, and one of the ideas that kept coming up was split suckling. So it just kind of worked out really well when I was talking to Ashley, and they had an interest as well to get that collaboration. And it's a really good experience for me as a grad student to be able to go out on a commercial farm and get research on a large farm, not only just get really good data, large numbers, but also kind of get to see how different farms operate and different production practices on each farm.
And so really kind of digging into split suckling, before we talk about your trial in particular, can we just start with a history of split suckling? How long has this been prominent in the industry? You know, what kind of led up to the steps of actually getting this research trial in place?
I will let Michaela take the lead on that one, because when we started this, we kind of tasked her with a big challenge and kind of told her, hey, do a lit review and find us every piece of information you can find on split suckling.
So I can definitely take this one. So split suckling it's a common practice on commercial farms. And really what split suckling is after that sow has farrowed, you remove a portion of her litter from the sow and place them under a heat source in the crate so that certain pigs that are removed, they don't have access to the sow's underline. And what this does, it allows those pigs that are left on the sow to have greater access to that sow's underline and a greater chance to consume colostrum. So really, when I was doing kind of a review of the literature and trying to see what's out there and what has been done on split suckling, I found 7 published trials going back to the 90s up until the 2020s. So really, when we think about that, that's really not a large number of studies looking at split suckling. But even though we don't have that much data on split suckling, it really is a common practice on our commercial farms. And really, when we think about split suckling, the main thing that we're trying to have an impact is, can we have decreased pre-weaned mortality? So if we get those pigs more colostrum, are we going to have an impact on pre-weaned mortality? So that's really the main thing that we think about trying to have an impact on when we split suckle. So when I was digging into these published trials and literature, what I found was that 2 of these studies found differences in pre mortality, where split suckling had a positive impact by decreasing pre mortality.
So how did doing that literature review, looking at what had been done, lead to, and some of the conversations you had, lead to this trial that was started between Kansas State and Pillen Family Farms?
So when we look at the literature on split suckling, it doesn't really indicate one best practice or one best way to split suckle. The trials that have been published have looked at multiple different ways of determining what pegs you pull off during split suckling. Do you pull off based on body weight, only pulling off those heavier body weight pegs? Or do you pull off pegs based on birth order, where you pull off those earlier born pegs? How long do you pull pegs off during split suckling and remove them from the cell? You know, it ranges from as short as 30 minutes up to 4 hours. Also, by a variety in if they pull off multiple different groups of pigs. So they may pull off half the litter for a certain amount of time, then pull off the other half of the litter. So really, when we look at the literature on split suckling, it doesn't indicate one best strategy. And really, if we compare split suckling strategies from different production systems, there's a wide variety in protocols used. So really, when we were thinking about trying to develop our treatments for this trial, we really wanted to focus on the two main split suckling strategies. So that would be split suckling either by birth weight or birth order.
Yeah, and from the pill and DNA perspective, as we started having these conversations about the trial, and we have always, the belief here was that split suckling works. I mean, we're helping those piglets early on day one. It's an intervention that we do to help them. And as we started having conversations with different farms and things like that, or even other customers, we realized there's not a consistent method to do that. But like Michaela said, the groups we want to focus on are those light birth weight or smaller pigs, or those born later in the birth order. So those were the peg, like what we would consider our high risk pigs. And so where we really wanted to focus, but like I said, it wasn't consistent in how we were helping those as we really looked across the board.
Let's go a little bit more in depth about some of that literature research that you did, Michaela. The number of trials and things like that, and how that built the foundation for the trial that you did.
So when we look at the published trials that are out there in the literature and really focus in on those two studies that found decreased preen mortality due to split suckling, and dig into those treatments a little bit more. So for one of those studies, it was published by Valet, and it had 300 sows in the study. And they had two different treatments. So they split suckled based on birth order, and then they had their control that they compared that split suckle treatment against, where they did not split suckle those litters. So for their split suckle treatment, how they applied that was that after 9 pigs were born, they removed the first 5 pigs that were born that litter, and they pulled those pigs off for 4 hours. So probably a little bit longer than what most people would do in commercial production, but they pulled those pigs off for 4 hours. And what they found is a tendency for reduction in pre-mortality of those pigs that were on those split suckle treatments. For the second trial that found a difference in premortality, that study was published as an abstract in 2015. And for this study, they compared a control treatment compared to split suckling based on pulling off the heavy body weight pigs for 2 hours. And what they found is that by pulling off those heavier body weight pigs and allowing those lighter body weight pigs to have greater access to that sow's underline, they actually found an increased survivability or a decreased mortality in those small birth weight pigs.
So Michaela, how did that research impact the way you set up your trial?
Yeah, so really had lots of discussion with my professors here at Kansas State, and then also with the research team at DNA and Pillins, really kind of going back and forth about, you know, what do we see in the literature, what has worked before, what's currently being done at Pillins, to kind of create our treatments that we used. So really, because we saw some differences or in research, we saw differences in premortality due to split suckling based on body weight and birth order, we really chose to kind of follow those two different treatment methods. So we compared two different split suckling strategies based on pulling pigs off by birth order or body weight.
Ashley, when you think about split suckling on commercial farms, why is it such a common practice?
I think that for our farms, there's this desire to do so much good in day one. I mean, we're assisting the sow, we're trying to dry those piglets, and we know how important colostrum intake is. I mean, colostrum intake really drives the lifetime success of that piglet. And so if we are helping by split suckling to improve that colostrum intake, then we just assume we're helping pre-wean and we're helping post-wean mortality. And so I just think it's this mindset on farm that we're doing something to help the pig. And so that's why we've been a big proponent of it. I would say prior to doing this trial, that was really our commercial on-farm mindset, is that we were doing something to help that pig on day one.
This project spanned several months over the summer. Can you walk us through the specifics of how you set up each treatment group and what that process looked like day to day?
So for our split suckle study, we looked at three different treatments. So our first treatment was our control, and these control litters were not split suckled. And then we compared two different split suckling treatments. So for our first split suckle treatment, we split suckled based on birth order. And for this treatment, during farrowing, myself and then the awesome ladies that I got to work with in the farrowing rooms at the farm I was at would mark pigs as they were born. So they marked the first eight pigs born, and then after that sow was done farrowing, and we counted her being done farrowing after afterbirth was passed, we went in and took a body weight of those pigs and then applied our split suckle treatment. So for this, we pulled off the first eight pigs born in that litter for 45 minutes and then placed them under a heat source in the sow's crate. After that 45 minutes was up, we then put those first eight born pigs, or those marked pigs, placed them back on the sow, and then pulled off the later born pigs for 45 minutes. And then after that 45 minutes was up, then we put those unmarked pigs, or those later born pigs, back on the sow, and that was the completion of our split suckle treatment. For our second split suckle treatment, we split suckled based on body weight. After that sow was done farrowing, again, that was marked as when she passed afterbirth. We took a weight of those pigs, and then we went in and applied our split suckle treatment. And for this, we pulled off the eight heaviest born pigs in that litter for an hour and a half. And then once that hour and a half time frame was up, we put those eight heaviest pigs back on the sow, and that was the completion of that split suckle treatment. So for our second split suckle treatment, we did not do any swapping. We just pulled off those eight heaviest born pigs.
What specific metrics or outcomes were you looking at to measure the success in this study?
So for us as a production company, our biggest outcomes here, the things we were most concerned about are pre-wean mortality and weaning weight, so litter growth rate. So we get paid putting pigs out the door, and the bigger they are, the better we do. And so those were our two biggest outcomes that we were the most concerned with. Obviously, there's other things we looked at, but I would say our key outcome drivers for this trial were pre-wean mortality and growth rate. Okay, I'll let you fill in with some of the other things we looked at, because we did look at lots of other different things in this trial. But for us at Pill and DNA, those were our two main outcomes.
Yeah, so as Ashley mentioned, really the biggest thing with split suckling is, can we have an impact on pre-wean mortality? So that was probably our number one outcome that we wanted to be able to look at through this trial, and then as well as weight of those pigs at weaning. One of the other things that we kind of wanted to understand more from the scientific side of thing is, if we're applying a split suckle treatment, can we have an impact on colostrum intake? So to look at this, we took blood samples from whole litters, approximately 45 litters per treatment, to try and understand if we're having an impact on colostrum intake. So 24 hours after that pig was born, we went in, took a blood sample, and then we used that blood sample to look at the immunoglobulin levels in the serum of those pigs to measure immunocore ratio. And really simply, what immunocore ratio is, it's an indicator of colostrum intake. So if that pig has a higher immunocore ratio, it means they had a higher colostrum intake and they had more immunoglobulins consumption.
Yeah, the other thing that was really important for us to look at too is lifetime performance. So specifically, you know, on the pill side, we are farrow to finish. And so if we are impacting colostrum consumption, are we also impacting, you know, lifetime immunity of that pig? And do we impact lifetime growth performance? And so that subset of pigs that Michaela was talking about that we bled, we also then followed those pigs through the nursery and through the finisher. And so that was something that was, you know, also important to us, is understanding what the lifetime impact of that had. Something that is valuable to both the pill system, but also our DNA customers.
Yeah, I would say that was something that was pretty unique about our trial. Really, it's kind of something that's missing out there in the literature. Only one study has followed pigs through from birth to market.
because it's hard to do, right? It takes a lot of work to track a pig from the time they're born until they go to market. But that was something that was really cool and unique about our study, was that we were able to track pigs and track lifetime growth performance and mortality.
Talk to me a little bit more about the results that came out of that trial, and what have you done with the results since then?
Yeah, so I will let Michaela share the results, but and then I can share a little bit about what we've done with them. So I will say we were all very shocked by the results. And so it definitely took us a little while to digest those results from this. And that was the really cool part of doing this with Michaela and with the university, is that we were able to get this done and written up and stats done so much quicker than we could have ourselves. And her having just having that university support was huge for us to be able to implement this quickly, because, you know, we always have trials going on and things. And it was just so awesome to have Michaela to take care of this project for us and run the stats and get those back to us.
So when we look at the results of this study, first, just want to point out that we had a large number of sows on this trial. So in total, we had over 1,500 sows included in the study and over 22,000 piglets. And we took individual weights and weighed and tagged those pigs, so we were able to track individual performance and individual mortality to really dig into this data and see if there's a subset of the population that we can have an impact by split suckling. So again, like we've talked about, really the biggest thing that we think about when we split suckle is that we want to have an impact on preem mortality. So when we looked at preem mortality in this study, we did not see any differences among our three different treatments. So by applying the split suckle treatments that we used in this study, we did not impact preem mortality. We also didn't see any differences in weaning weight of those pigs or growth performance of those pigs pre-weaning. So really don't see a lot of differences in growth performance or mortality in this study.
And when Michaela sent me that back, I said, are you sure? Can you double check? Like, we really found no differences.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit on this beforehand, and I noticed that there were a lot of maybe discrepancies in some about, you know, if you pull some of those pigs off first, are they impacted by that? Obviously, the smaller pigs that you're trying to help support are impacted from birth as well. So you noticed no differences between pigs you pulled for split suckling versus those that stayed on the teat.
Yeah, so we... Once we kind of got the initial analysis done and looked at the overall population, one of the things that we wanted to do is kind of dig into this data a little bit more to try and understand if we're having an impact on a subset of the population. Are we helping pigs born later in the birth order? Are we helping those light birth weight pigs? Or potentially, if we're pulling off those heavy birth weight pigs, are we hurting them? So one of the things is that we did was look at preem mortality by body weight category. So I took our distribution of body weights and broke our pigs down into our light, medium, and our heavy body weight categories to look at preem mortality. And when we break apart our population of pigs into those three body weight categories, again, we don't see any differences in preem mortality due to split suckling.
Were there any other things that surprised either of you?
I just think the general lack of no difference. I mean, we kept telling Michaela, okay, so we didn't see a difference. Now go look at it by parity. Go look at it by teat count. What about the litters that we weren't there to assist? And so overnight, and so we had to split suckle them the next day. What about? And I think poor Michaela, bless her. She, after about the 30th time, we said, okay, now go look at this. I think she was like, people, don't you get it? Like, there's no result here. But I mean, that was just, it's hard, you know, it's such an ingrained practice for us to do that. It's just really such a mindset to change, to go from something you think you're doing to really help, but isn't making a difference. And it's a lot of time and labor on farm for our teams to split suckle. And so I think just the thought process of, we spend a lot of time doing this every day, but we're doing it and it's not making a difference, was really hard for us to digest at first.
I would say for me, I mean, Ashley mentioned that we looked at this data a lot of different ways. And I mean, that was something that I definitely wanted to do because we had so much data. We were really able to dig in and try and identify if there's a subset of the population or certain litters, if we split suckle, does it help them? So that was something that was really important to us, is kind of break this down and look at it by, like Ashley mentioned, by parity. Are we having differences in gilts versus multi-paris sows? Are we having a difference based on teat count, or are we having a difference based on timing of split suckling? So one of the things that we looked at and want to try and understand, does split suckling help those larger litters? So another way that we look at this data was looking at those litters where pig count at day one at the time of weighing and tagging was greater than functional teat count, or that sow didn't have enough functional teats to feed all the pigs that were in her litter. So we looked at that subset of the population and to try and understand if in those larger litters, are we having an impact on preterm mortality. And what we saw is earlier on within from day one to day two after that litter was born, we did see some small differences, but significant differences in preterm mortality. We're actually split suckling decreased preterm mortality in that early period post-farrowing. However, when we look at preterm mortality throughout lactation, we didn't observe any differences overall between our treatments. So we had an impact early on after farrowing. However, that difference didn't keep up till those pigs were weaned.
And the other thing that's interesting too is we kind of think about those bigger litters. And when we're split suckling, we're taking away part of that litter and giving more room in the crate. So, you know, it's not necessarily that, especially where it's on day one there, it's not that we're actually helping necessarily with the colostrum intake and whatnot. It's more, there's more chances for those pigs to get laid on and whatnot there in day one. And so it makes sense to me, if you got 20 pigs in a crate, you take 8 of them out, you give a lot more room to those other piglets, whereas those that were not split suckling, if we leave them all in there, there's not as much room for them to maybe kind of move around and get away from mom.
Yeah, Ashley brings up a good point there. Because we tagged these pigs individually, we were able to track reasons for mortality, so we knew why a pig died. So when we looked at those larger litters, that subset that I just talked about, when we look at differences for reason of mortality within that first 24 hours after they were born, the biggest difference was that our control litters had a higher number of piglets that were laid on. So maybe we're having, you know, when you pull off those pigs, they're less likely to be laid on, obviously, because they're pulled off the sow for a certain amount of time. So it could be due to that, or, you know, potentially are we having an impact by giving those pigs more energy by split suckling?
So then what are some of the key takeaways that stood out to you from this research?
Yeah, so I would say for us, it's made us realize as a system. So this is something that we're doing that is not necessarily helping those pigs on day one. So what can we do? So we have decided to kind of evaluate, you know, where are some areas that, and maybe it's farm by farm, but where can we really make improvements or move the needle on day one? So making sure for us, it would be making sure that those pigs are getting dried. So not just throwing menstrual in there, but pick them up, get them invigorated and get them on an underline. Our sows getting up and eating and drinking, you know, really improving that day one care, not just to the piglet, but to the sow. And then, you know, making sure we're assisting litters properly, or maybe we have a farm that's short people and where we're not spending all this time split suckling. Maybe that person can go out for part of the day and help in the gestation barn. So we've just kind of taken this as a moment to step back and say, what do each of these individual farms need and where can they spend their time more efficiently, not split suckling? And so that is something that we have done as a system. And like I said, we've been able to really implement this a lot more quickly than we could have if we would have done this ourselves with the help of Michaela and all the analysis that she's done. And we have some guys that they have been running sow farms for a long time, and it was hard for them. You know, it's something you've done for your 30-year career. It's hard to process that, but she did such a nice job of putting all of this data together for us in a really easily digestible way. And so our teams have been able to take it and really, you know, absorb those results and say, okay, what can I do on my farm to, if I'm not going to split suckle, to really help these pigs on day one, or to help these sows and keep things healthy and going?
Yeah, I would say, kind of like Ashley, I was a little bit surprised probably by the results of this study, because when we think about split suckling, it makes logical sense that we're helping these pigs, we're getting them more colostrum. It just makes logical sense that split suckling would have an impact. And I think another thing is that when we're on farm, we think we're doing good. It makes us feel good that we're helping these pigs, getting them off to a better start. So that was something that was surprising to me about this study.
But we looked at this data multiple different ways to try and identify those differences. Like I said, we took those blood samples to look at immunocure ratio. And when we look at that, we don't see any differences. So by applying our split cell gene treatment, we didn't have an impact on colostrum intake. We didn't have a difference on body weight of those pigs at weaning as well. I think as we've been talking about this, you know, it was a surprising result to me, but some of the data that's out there in the literature would kind of back this up, as well as some studies that were done at Smithfield. So they posted an article in National Hog Farmer, and they didn't find any differences in their system as well.
Perfect. Are there any other key takeaways or points you guys want to go back to that we might have missed?
I would say one of the big things that was unique about this study that we kind of touched on earlier was that we followed these pigs from birth until they went to market. So we followed a subset of pigs into the research nursery at Pillins and then into the research finisher. And we were able to track growth performance of those pigs by taking a weight when those pigs were weaned, before they were moved to the finisher, and then before the first marketing event. And then we're able to track post-weaning mortality on these pigs. And when we look at post-weaning growth performance and mortality, again, we don't see any differences among our three different treatments. So really, split cell clean did not have an impact on lifetime growth performance of these pigs.
I would say from a Pillin DNA standpoint, for sure want to take another moment to thank K-State and all of their help with this. And then also, I think Michaela and I too, we need to give credit to the girls that helped us get all this done this summer. So we had three other amazing interns with Michaela this summer that helped execute this trial. And we just genuinely, we couldn't have done this without the support of those interns and the K-State group. And so all of us here at Pillin DNA, very, very thankful for that collaboration. Like I said, we love bringing students in. And so we couldn't have done this without all those girls. And so, Michaela, I know I did the math once, but do you remember how many pounds of pigs we weighed at weaning this summer?
Off the top of my head, it was a lot. We picked up a lot of pigs, so taking individual weights.
It was over 22,000 piglets. And so, I mean, you think about how many pounds of pigs those girls picked up this summer, and it was incredible, just the work that they put into this. And so, yeah, just wanted to take a moment to say how thankful the whole team is here for everything that K-State and Michaela and the interns did for us this summer.
So I just want to echo Ashley and just give a big thank you to all of the interns that helped me out out this summer, all of the farm staff that I got to work with. They were really welcoming and, you know, welcomed me on the farm and helped me collect all this data. And even though we kind of disrupted their normal day-to-day on the farm, they were all really great to work with. And also just want to give a big thank you to Pillin Family Farms and then DNA Genetics and the research team that I got to work with, just really for this great opportunity to be able to do this commercial trial. You know, here at K-State, we have some sows that we can do research on. But I would be in my PhD forever if I just did this trial at K-State trying to get the same amount of numbers. So really want to thank them for this opportunity. I know as a grad student, it's just a really awesome opportunity to get out and actually do research on a commercial farm.
This has been one of many fascinating research projects happening in the swine industry, especially valuable given how little data currently exists around this particular practice. A big thank you to our guests today, Ashley Hartman and Michaela Spindler, for sharing their insights and experiences. And thank you for tuning in to this month's episode of the PigX podcast. Each month, we bring discussions happening in the swine industry. Don't forget, new episodes drop on the first Monday of every month, so be sure to hit subscribe so you get notified when those are released. We'll see you next month for another timely conversation on all things swine. Until then, I'm Delaney Howell, and this has been the PigX Podcast.
PigX is a national podcast hosted by the Pig Livability Project partners at Iowa State University, Kansas State University, and Purdue, and supported by the Iowa Pork Industry Center. For more information on the project, head to www.piglivability.org, or to inquire directly with questions regarding the project, email ipic.iastate.edu. PigX, ideas in the swine industry worth sharing.